Nagaishimas. Welcome to Cliff's Wujo. A Wujo is a place where the Wujo arts are practiced, as a dojo is a place in which the martial arts are practiced. The Wuwu arts are all things not allowed in mainstream media. Wuwu is all talk not fit for polite discussion. Wuwu is the other half of what makes us human. Today is Tuesday, March 20th. It's 6:18 a.m., this is a deep woo version of Cliff's Wujo. Got a lot of stuff to go over real. Well, probably won't be quick. It's probably going to be a long one, I think. Let's start off with Bitcoin. The reason I'm going into Bitcoin is that I want to gradually move away from PayPal. The reason being that PayPal supports the Federal Reserve because it uses Federal Reserve notes and digidollars. Bitcoin is a peer-to-peer currency. I chose that because I think it's the most robust and the most long-lived of the many alternatives on peer-to-peer currency that are out there. If you don't like Bitcoin, invent another one, and let's see if the markets will accept it. But it is a good idea. It's a little tedious to deal with, and it's nascent in the sense that you're going to have to look to find places to spend bitcoins, but you can find what you want spending those bitcoins, and every time you spend a bitcoin is like you're shoving your foot that much further up the Bernanke and twisting it a bit, because you're actually using a non-Federal Reserve product to do your business, and you are opting out of their entire system, and it is simply that easy. Let's estimate that if, say, 35% of the populace used bitcoins or some similar peer-to-peer currency, that would force 70 to 80% of all the businesses to accept them, and probably within a month the entire federal government, based on the Federal Reserve, would collapse, and we would see what would be left, and then we would be able to use that as the core for rebuilding our social order here. So Bitcoin is good stuff. Peer-to-peer currency, if you've got another one that's better, let me know about it, but do your research on that first. And then, because I get a lot of questions about this, I'll state very clearly my opinion of the Thrive movement and the Thrive guys, okay? And this is an opinion. It is obviously heavily biased. I'll state that up front. And I'll let you know that linguistically, they're saying all the right words. Now, that's not very difficult. The government has the Council on Foreign Relations, and they say all the right words because they research to find out what those words are in order to make you behave the way that they want you to. Now, the Thrive guys are saying all the right words. I'm curious to note if the Thrive fellows, the people at the top, the Foster Gamble guys, are in any way bound to, associated with Council on Foreign Relations or any of their offshoots, and how clean this fellow really is. In my way of thinking, it's very hard to, very difficult to be clean and be rich other than self-made in your generation. That being said, so there's a bias against it right from the start. I tell you right up front, I'm prejudiced against the guy because he's rich and he's inherited his money. Now, he put 8 years into it, so I'm not prejudiced against him on this. I mean, good for him for putting in the 8 years, but it is my conclusion that the guy must be an idiot if he put 8 years into a film and does not recognize the huge amount of Illuminati, Masonic, and other occult symbols that riddle that effort. It starts from the very poster that is the beginning with his seeing eye. There are 13 Illuminati symbols that I've found in there, and that's just the beginning. There's like 254 within the first, I want to say, 40 minutes of the movie, and I wasn't even really trying to find them. They're just jumping out at me. So the fellow is either a liar, and I will state that to his face if he ever wants to come and discuss it. It is my opinion that there are two options here. He can present me with a third, but he's either lying and he does know about all the symbols being used, and therefore he's disingenuous and he's attempting to trick you and subsume the natural movement of the time, or he's really, really, really naive and stupid for not knowing that someone's running a game on him and has snatched his movie. So, and then the whole movement from then on, I'm not a collectivist, so if you guys want to join his movement and be a collective, part of that collective, that's fine. It wouldn't appeal to me even if it was legit, you know? That's the thing. Even if it was absolutely legit and it went on to change the planet, it would still leave me out just because of the nature of who I am, and we need to know that bias going up front. Now, let's go on to economic stuff. It looks like we've just crossed over into the calorie economy. As part of our release language stuff, we have the institution of the... Well, first, we've had the National Death to Americans Act that Obama signed, where he can come and have people come and kill you openly, hiddenly, you know, surreptitiously, for fun, whatever reason they want. He doesn't have to check with anybody. I don't think he can... I think there's 535 people officially excluded from that act, in the sense that I don't think that the people of Congress assume it applies to them. Now, we'll find out. Maybe Obama can, or the president can have Congress killed just like any other American, but maybe they're not an American, so we'll have to see. It may not apply to them. And we know that it doesn't apply to any bankster or any sociopath that works for the banksters that stays in line, and we know it doesn't apply to anybody that has their hand up the anus of the bankster and is pulling on their guts to make them do what they want. So the real powers that be and everybody are not Americans, and so the National Death to Americans Act only applies to the poor and the soon-to-be poor, which is the ex-middle class. Now, speaking of that, Obama, doesn't matter him, he's a puppet, poor fellow. Whoever the stooge is at the moment in the White House has signed an order, which is the National Death to Americans Money Act. And it's not called that. It's called something like NDRIP or something like, we're going to drip all your money away. Anyway, what it actually is now they have the ability to seize anything and everything that's within the borders of the United States, which, by the way, rest of the world, the stooge at the top sitting in the White House, understands the United States to be the United States, which is a corporation, which is a global entity. He recognizes no boundaries, no borders, because he deals with a corporate fiction and not the reality in which we live. Nonetheless, let me point out that we've been waiting for this temporal marker. This temporal marker is the beginning of the calorie economy. I didn't want to get into details. I just wanted to keep a praise that it was coming, keep an eye out, because once this kicks in, we know that there's about a 90-day period of time in which we'll begin to see, or we will see the beginnings of the federal government dictatorship start removing assets, and the destruction will go to the middle class. So our data shows that part of the riots coming this summer are from the seizure of the middle class retirement systems. The IRAs, the KEOs, any retirement system, any money anywhere is just going to get yanked out, and an IOU is going to be put in there. And basically, I don't know. I won't go into that detail. We have some hints as to what may be coming as a result of that, but it's not really pertinent. The pertinent part is that we shift into the calorie economy, and the next little temporal marker leading up to the riots of summer over the economic issues within the U.S. has been put into place, interestingly, within the time frame that I'd anticipated. So, off on the calorie economy, officially as of this Friday, it'll develop over time. We'll see the influences on the markets of this current quantitative easing. Wouldn't surprise me to see the stock or the Dow go up to, like, you know, 16,000 or greater. I've always had this running jab at George that we'd see 20,000 before we saw 6,000. And I still think I'm correct. It'll go very much higher before it goes lower, because they're doing this back-channel easing on all of these various different forms of money control, trying to continue to prop up the dollar. So as we move into the calorie economy, there'll be all kinds of changes for us. I'll address some of those in the futures. We hit a couple of other temporal markers. We're waiting for some more Wujo business here, so to speak. We've had another instance of the truth attack. That appears to be a wide meme. I didn't know that going in. I thought it might just be one spectacularly brilliant episode, but we're now seeing more of it. Apparently ABC News has posted the results of the caucus ahead of time. They went ahead into the future, got the results of the Republican caucus, came back and put them out a day ahead of the actual caucus. Thank them very much for that. We also have an issue here of... or an answer that I need to get out on a question on meditation. And the question related to whether or not compression of energy in males was basically a side effect of the ego being destroyed. And it's not really that. The ego's got to be gotten rid of, beaten down into submission, because of the way in which the ego interacts with the body material as well as the body energy. And here's the thing. There's a separate part of your brain. In the martial arts, we call it your second brain. And it's the area of the neural mass that's around your intestines. This neural mass communicates with the rest of your brain and your consciousness through the vagus nerve, which is actually a nerve complex and not just a straight nerve like you might find running elsewhere. So it can communicate more information than might otherwise be the case. In any event, the second brain is not the necessarily the point of residence of the ego. I'm uncertain of that, but I'm quite certain that the ego has direct control over that. So since the compression of the energy is done in the area, the space or span of your physical body that includes your abdomen, and within that area, the ego controls that nerve cluster, and those nerves are used in this process, the ego must be gotten out of the way, because it doesn't, basically, the ego does not like to sit around and spend a lot of its time contemplating its own demise, because the ego does not transit the process of death into the bardo, and it knows this, and it doesn't like it, and that's why you have a fear of death, not because you, the immortal being, giant consciousness that shoved a little tiny bit of itself into the materium here, gives a rat's ass about death, but because the construct of the ego, which is a momentary creation that is fixed to your physical body, does care, because it knows it doesn't persist. So it will do everything it can to prevent you from basically putting all your energy into an area that it can't participate in. Sort of makes sense? I mean, I'm simplifying this to a great degree, and if you go into the science of yoga, you'll say, oh, I sort of see what he's saying, and, you know, it's like he's trying to talk to six-year-olds about this. So excuse me if you've had some experience with this, and it is not exactly as I'm portraying it there, but the concentration of energies into the Dandian or into the chakra system is done as a deliberate act that has to occur after much of the process of the ego destruction has occurred. The ego doesn't have to be 100% gone. You'll notice that when you've achieved these two particular milestones in destroying yourself, dying repeatedly, or however you want to put it, you end up being able to say, oh, look, hey, there's this little bit of energy I can grab hold of, this mote in space and time that I can play with and compress, and you'll actually see physical changes in your body as a result of this. And so you know you're on the right path, even though you'll still have resurgences of the ego periodically. And it's not like I'm ego dead. The ego is something that you constantly fight with. You constantly backslide. You have to continuously fight against backsliding. It's kind of like dieting in that sense. Everybody who's dieted knows exactly what I'm referring to. And if we get a situation of killing the ego off even a little bit, you find that you develop willpower. A very interesting component of your personality and your being that most people don't know they actually have. And actually, it's not willpower. Prior to the death of the ego, you have willpower. You can go off and do things, and you can will yourself to, you know, take some pain and accomplish something. But that is as a slave of the ego. When the ego gets out of the way, you discover a thing called will. And it's a very interesting component of who you are. It's entirely different from ego. It's no longer a slave of it. And it's extremely moral and won't do anything that it shouldn't. And it's an interesting aspect of your personality to pursue. Okay, so done with that. Now, two quick points of other business, or three, actually. We've had a blowback of the magnetosphere of the planet Earth, which should not occur. It occurred on the 13th of March. Excuse me. The magnetosphere is shaped around the Earth is basically shaped like a the coma around a comet, because it is occurs as a result of the energies from the sun coming down and blasting around us. They hit the denser parts of the atmosphere, whip around the planet, and give us a little tail as they exit. And so we have this magnetosphere that's shaped like the coma that our sun actually has, as do all other bodies in interstellar space. So the what occurred on the 13th was that the tail of our magnetosphere blew back across the planet and went the other way briefly. Now, this is a rather extraordinary thing. NASA is very mum about it. Of course, you know, it's the National Association of Secrecy and Idiots or Assholes, but they're not saying anything about anything. In any event, there was that, and I'm at a loss to imagine a situation where it could have occurred as a result of reflectivity. So if you hear someone saying that it's because Planet X reflected the energies of the sun and blew it back across the Earth, I do not envision a situation in which that would occur, unless the Planet X was basically so close to us that it was within the magnetosphere that we have here, in which case you'd be able to see it 24 hours a day, and it would block out most of the sky, which we don't have occurring, therefore it probably was not that form of a blowback. Another interesting idea, though, that does occur to me is if one imagines that Dr. Bott is correct, and that our sun is moving through the interstellar medium at a very fast rate of speed, then basically our sun's coma is in the way of a meniscus. And so if that's the case, like any other meniscus, like a meniscus of a water bubble in a stream, if we were to pierce that meniscus of that water bubble in the stream, those elements of dirt, dust, debris, even water, air bubble within the stream, if we pierce the meniscus of that, and there was dirt and debris within that air bubble trapped in the water itself, it bubbles up from the bottom of the river and it gets trapped in the middle of the river and it goes along with the current because it doesn't have the lifting capacity, so to speak, to burst through, and so it can literally stay within the part of the river as an integral whole little air bubble with whatever matter it brought with it, very much like our solar system. And so here's a situation. If we were to take a micro needle and we had the capacity and we could pierce the meniscus of that air bubble in the middle of the river as it's going along, we would see that the mere disturbance of the meniscus itself caused positional disturbances within the debris in there. We needn't intrude any huge amount of matter or anything. All we need to do is disturb the meniscus, the surface covering, and the material inside will be thus disturbed as well. So we, in our solar system, may have experienced that on March 13th. I have a few questions that would allow me to determine this, at least to provide a greater level of confidence to it, and I would want to know such things as the magnetospheres of the other planets. Were they disturbed, or was this just related to Earth? That kind of thing. Nonetheless, it's a really good thing to gnaw on and noodle about. Two items of business before getting back to the deep woo, which we'll start back with this magnetosphere thing. I have heard Ed Dames on Coast to Coast discussing some of the stuff I do here, and if Ed ever wanted to contact me and discuss processes and methods, I'd be quite happy to chat with him. So, Ed, if you hear about this or you hear this recording, you can Skype me. I know you're all over the planet. I use an older version of Skype that's not traceable, and I've got a couple of tweaks of my own on it, so it's very secure. Address cliff with two H's dot H-I-G-H. Anybody else that sends requests, please understand I'm very busy and I do not usually accept requests or run Skype, that kind of thing. Not really into chatting a lot. And then speaking of that, somebody else who I'd like to chat with would be Michael Tesarian. I heard his latest talk here on the female Illuminati, and Michael, I've got a piece of the puzzle that you may not be aware of it, and even if you are, my wrinkle on that piece of the puzzle may be amusing to you. So if you'd care to call or contact, I'll let you know what I've come across. So now back to the deep woo part of all of this. The magnetosphere shift, if, and I say that with giant capital if it was connected to the meniscus pierce may indicate that something entered our solar system from deep interstellar space. That would be very unusual. As far as I know, it happens so rarely as to be of note in any given 13,000-year cycle. So, the deep woo part of this is a confluence of events. I'm doing some stuff to run preload on the data so that I can do a lexicon tuning, which basically means I have to load the whole model space and go through all this rigmarole. Anyway, though, as a result of this, I'm following some of the trends of the spiders as they gather data. And I'm very shocked to discover very early in the process huge amounts of data building for the Space Goat Farts entity. Usually I wouldn't see that until probably 10 days out from here. And I'm already seeing an appreciable mass building in that entity's subsets. So this kind of goes along with the other bits of confluence here. And some of these are the following. There's this a guy in the Woojo, a woo-woo fellow by the name of Sean David Morton. He wrote a book called Sands of Time. This book is a result of the, as I understand it, of him having been given the memoirs or the life story of a real personality who's I don't know if he's alive or dead, in the black ops world. And that this real personality has been involved with all of the stuff like the Philadelphia Experiment and all of these kind of things, Montauk, etc., that are all involved in time travel. Now, I got this book because Sean David Morton has a patent-pending thing on a form of the unified field theory and its application to communication beyond space and time. Hey, this is really cool. You know, it means no more Wi-Fi, which is great because I want to get rid of all that electromagnetic radiation. And you can just communicate, you know, beyond the time frequencies, which is really cool. Anyway, so I get this book with the intent of reading the book, and just because he claims in a couple of places that he's got all the science necessary in there for skeptics such as myself to understand how time travel occurs. Now you have to also understand I've got this really, I don't know if it's strange or not, but I have a very particular understanding of the materium and universe. This particular understanding really does not allow for time travel corporeally. And yet, if I'm to understand what is being claimed in the Sands of Time's book and all of the other Woojo stuff all about this sort of thing, that is precisely what the Black Ops guys are attempting to do, which is to shove the corporeal mensis, the body and mind, through time. Like physically take your vibrations and shove them through another layer of vibrations and have you end up standing out there. Now, from my viewpoint, there's a couple of negatives associated with this because you have to understand I'm aware that our bodies are not physical. They're not solid. And so they're not really talking about taking little taking atoms like little tiny miniature micro nano rocks and whizzing around and in giant clumps and stuff and pushing those through some kind of an energy barrier. It's not that understanding at all. It's an issue of inner threading energetic frequencies, and there are some severe repercussions to so doing. Now, I don't want to get into the details of this, but basically I don't read fiction. For a lot of reasons, and so I let Kathy read the book, and she's gotten through some of the parts of it and reached some of the science. In the meantime, I'd gotten frustrated, and so because I really wanted to know answers to a couple of questions here, because I'd love to accept the idea of time travel, and thus alter my framework to accommodate that if there was demonstrable evidence of actual corporeal time travel going on. Okay, so long explanation to getting around to some of the deep woo components. So, anyway, while Kathy started reading the book, which she likes the plot, she says it's a very gripping plot line and done well in a, you know, if they got a good script writer, they would end up with a decent movie out of it. You know, it's a guy's real life story and stuff. In any event, I don't read fiction, haven't since 1983, and so as a result decided, well, I would take another tack. I did some separation reduction, you know, separated 6 degrees of freedom, 6 degrees of separation. And so I contacted a few people, put out a few requests, and I actually got some information back and some actual contact with people that are involved in the squirrely business on the other side of, let's just call it, the shadow barrier. And these people have explained to me a couple of items that allowed me to adjust the framework I've got, didn't have to adjust it very much, to understand what they're doing. And I will still dispute that it's actually a mind and body that is being sent back in toto. And there's a whole... And now I understand, actually, because of my framework, I understand why the people get sick as a result of this process and some of the other negatives that are associated with what they're doing. And it actually is a side growth of their not having an appropriate framework to wrap around their work. Their framework is in and of itself causing them problems. It's kind of like here you've got a whole crew of people that you're telling to build a house. You give them all kinds of wood, nails, saws, and everything, and you give them the backhoe to go and do the land remediation so that you can put your foundation in, and they're working under the assumption that they're on a planet, and it's only when they start digging holes to put the foundation in that they keep hitting water, and they're still not aware that they're on a boat. And so everywhere they're going to dig for that foundation, they're going to keep hitting water. And as long as they maintain the understanding that they're on a planet, they're going to keep approaching this from an inappropriate viewpoint that will keep producing holes that fill with water. This is just an analogy to what's going on within the black ops world and really why a lot of the screwiness is going on, which brings us back to the deep woo. So I get hold of these guys, and I've had contact with one of them before, and he's genial because he's left their service. Now, I won't go into any of the details at all except to say that in my discussions with him, I understand why he has left the shadow world. He's an older fellow who wishes to indulge certain aspects of his personality before he dies. And he's tired of living in their little cubes, and their little cubes don't let him do what he needs to do. Basically, he's, you know, been doing it for 30 years, been there, done that, and he wanted to kind of retire, only don't really retire from this circumstance in his line of work. So he had to skedaddle. And his skedaddling has taken him all around the planet, and he's got to basically keep hiding, but his life is okay for him. He's made arrangements to contact me intermittently, and was able to answer a question, and I was able to slot in their approaches into my framework, and I now understand what they're doing. And they are sort of doing as they think, but not really. I won't go into the details. It's not pertinent to the rest of the Deep Woo discussion. But what is pertinent is that if, and it's a big if, in many interpretations between us sitting here in the Wujo thinking about this and the actual events, if all of those interpretations have not materialistically altered the flow of information and we're actually getting something close to what occurred, then indeed the excessive use of electricity in an inappropriately framed fashion has caused problems to the materium. Not merely the universe, not merely our galaxy and our solar system, but the materium. If we were to consider that the interstellar medium that separates the solar system may be a good thing because it separates our solar system from other solar systems, and other solar systems would, at a bare minimum, have bacteria, viruses, and all that kind of crap that we just don't want to deal with, and probably or may even be incapable of dealing with, then the interstellar medium itself becomes, if you will, an isolation barrier that allows life to get to the point where maybe it can develop its capability to deal with that sort of thing before coming in contact with it. Unfortunately, we have within our species a subset called assholes. Now, these assholes collectively all got together under a misunderstanding of what's going on, or maybe not. There's some hint that this might be evil intent at a much greater level, but let's leave that aside for the moment. Anyway, in the midst of World War, which was an engineered process run by the Zionists for their own purposes, a technology was encountered that exists as a result of shoving vast quantities of electricity into the toroids that make up the various components of the materium. And they basically, if I understand this correctly, have created holes in the materium that should not exist there. So, we get back to my buddy who's escaped from the deep ops world and who's running around under the impression that he's going to be dying shortly. And if you ask him, and he knows you, you know, why are you under this impression, he'll tell you. And it's basically because of what these guys did way back when in the 1940s, and then again when they did it again in the 60s, and then they did it again in the 80s. And apparently they're just now doing it all over again in CERN, although let's assume that they're attempting to plug the holes that they created in previous episodes of this. In any event, so my buddy from the deep shadow world says, well, you know, we're all toast. It's all going to come unglued. The damage to the materium is significant and will affect us not only in the sense of causing rips and tears in physical reality that will cause distortions in the planet and this kind of deal, but also these holes are letting in all these critters from other vibrational frequencies. Which is part of the point, I think, of the book that the Sands of Time book. It also may very well, just as an aside, be a huge point in the new movie about the guy on Mars, John Carter, which I guess is just chock full of subliminal messages and all kinds of Illuminati imagery, so much so you'll have to scrape the stuff off your eyeballs when you come out. So it ought to be a real interesting experience to watch that, especially if you can read symbols and see what they're really telling you. They may even be slapping you in the face with it because we're so close. Anyway, so my buddy from the deep woo world says, well, you know, basically go on out, you know, have fun, gamble, whatever you want to do, because at the end of this year, we're all dead. And I say, well, why are we all dead? And he says, well, basically what's going to occur is that the rifts are going to connect across this temporal gulf because of the alignment issues that occur then, and we're going to get invaded by bazillions of these reptiloid kind of beings that are not fun to be around. And they're here now. They've been coming through since the 40s, and they've established a presence here. They've apparently got a couple of bases here, and we're not able to deal with the bastards. Or our government has made a deal with them or some damn thing. Who knows, you know? I mean, these most of government that is elected, you have to figure it falls on the subset of asshole, so you can't really go by any decisions that they make or anything they say. In any event, you have to assume that I do, in any event, that any time they do anything, it's the opposite of what should be done. And so we find ourselves in a nasty straits, according to Deep Shadow Guy. Now, he has no firm, it's not like he's a prophet or any of that sort of thing, and he won't go into the details as to why he believes the invasion component is going to occur. He will go and tell you some of the other components relative to the earth changes and that kind of thing, and how the huge amount of electricity that these guys are screwing around with has exacerbated much of the conditions we're facing. And now, as an aside, let's deal with the CERN issue. It is not a Deep Shadow Guy's supposition, but it is my supposition based on the flow of materials that I watched as they were building CERN, that it's not about smashing particles together, it was about something else. And it may be that they're trying to build a giant sewing machine to stitch up this rift in time that they've created prior to the invasion. And as a subset of that, they may also think that they can use some component of this as a weapon against the invasion, assuming the invasion of the reptiloids is indeed part of our manifesting reality in the future. Given the huge flurry of UFOs and all of the other high strangeness that's going on, I have a tendency to put that down as evidence of this rift thing. There's been statistically a very large rise in reported UFO stuff, plus I've been seeing the an escalation in this in our Alien Wars, Alien Contention meme, since about 2003 when we first started building the Space Goat Farts entity. Had to, because so much of the data was not appropriate for anything else. So, I have a tendency to think that I'm going to hold open my mental construct of reality and put a variable there that says, you know, space alien invasion, December 21 or 22, 2012, and a question mark as being a potential. I don't know a probability, but there is some level of potential that this could exist. Screwiness, and it would certainly kick us all into high gear, and it would also explain all different other kinds of things relative to our data from that point on anyway. In other words, I've got all these weird things that show up in the data from 2013, the data flow, the rate of the flow, various different elements within the data that have not really made a lot of sense since about 2006 because I was absent some very large major clue. Now, that clue could have been time travel, or the clue could be space alien invasion, or both. Both of those would individually would make sense and could be noodled around and flattened out into lasagna kind of a thing to fill in all these holes. Together, they also make sense to fill in, or at least explain, why we've got the constructs we've got for 2013 onward. So anyway, sort of in a weird kind of a way, support for the idea of space alien invasion. And we've actually had data sets that have said, you know, farmers out there with shotguns in the middle of the night, doors locked, windows barred, you know, blowing the crap out of aliens that land on their property. Why it should be farmers, I don't know. I just don't know why it wasn't, somebody on top of a building in a city somewhere. But that was just the level of detail that we got. And these levels of detail are fleeting. Unless we capture them and save the data sets, we don't get them again. So, in fact, if we do get them again, I know it's that's part of one of my referential integrity checks, and I throw it out. If it's exactly the same wording, it's being propagated from somewhere. So we get rid of anything that is static like that, persistent, because reality is not persistent that way. It flows and ebbs around you, especially in our data. So we had that way back when about the farmers having to deal with the space aliens, and we had it about the 2011-2012 time frame. That was at the far end of when we first got that image. It was the far end of the long-term data. So that would have a tendency to fit. And then Sean David Morton's book was interesting about the it fitting some of these components. And then also getting the contacts from the Deep Shadow guys has populated my version of the template as to why what they're doing seems to be working. They are, in fact, not actually taking the human being in whole and shoving them back in time. And that's really part of the problem, and they are not aware of what they're doing, and that's another part of the problem. I don't know about stitching up the rifts. I think I could probably put my mind to that and figure out something fairly easy, because that's it's an issue of your framework. You know, a lot of materium is really easily understood once you get beyond a couple of the conceptual hurdles. So, getting back to the deep woo component again. So I've had one or two. Okay, In Space Goat Farts, now, the data is very early. It's populated at the level of, let's see here, less than 4% as we're running now of the previous size of it. I don't know what it'll be this size, but it's very early to get 4% of the data in this part of the run. Very unusual. But already two of the major archetypes are repopulating, and one of the major archetypes that's the scary one, I happen to know because I've looked at it a whole bunch, and it is a particular hex number, and it relates to the return. That's the archetype, is the return. Not return, not the word itself, but the phrase, the return. You'll note that occurs in all kinds of literature. It's in all kinds of myths, you know, the return of the prodigal son. You know, what's his name in his Odyssey, his return, all of that kind of business. So it is an archetype that's actually very key and close to the hearth, which is the center of the focus, which is the center of the family. And so these are very powerful archetypes, and the fact that it's populating so quickly, and the last time I looked at it, in the last report in December, the data set related to the return of the progenitors, which is how they are how it's defined. So it may indeed be that we've got a data set confirmation for the woo-woo confirmation, which is of the rumors that, you know, all of the space aliens and everything that are showing up are preparatory. Reconnaissance craft and, you know, early invasion setup, just like our butthead administration psychopathic sociopaths have ringed the country of Iran with 95 or 100 military bases prior to raining absolute fiery hell down on these innocent human beings. That's exactly what's going on here. Just like in the movie, what was that, the one with, where they, space aliens came in and they were creepy guys, Independence Day. And, just then, you know, all the spaceships had to get all coordinated and crap. Well, this is why we're getting all of these, reports of the, space alien activity. And this is also probably why, over the past year and a half that I've had, 2 years that I've had these, 3D goggles, I've seen a noticeable gut-level appreciated statistical rise in the number of and types of craft out there and the level of activity of all these guys doing stuff. So something is up. It is probably imminent in the sense of within this year, probably by the end of this year. It relates to whatever is going on in our near-Earth orbit with all of these space planes and all the triangular craft. And it may actually be presciently foretold within our data and be showing up now as this early population of the space goat farts, the return. Okay, I'm going to take a breath and give us a disclaimer here. After all that deep woo, the part about our data has to be slightly discounted because we haven't run referential integrity checks. And so all this whole area may be thrown out as being an artificially promulgated meme that's being put out by Disney as part of their movie. And see, I have to throw out lots of stuff like that. I just found it curious that the return was populated so early when I had all of these other synchronicities related to this idea that space aliens are going to come on back and we're going to have to be dealing with them here in this year. Which is like, well, okay, this is kind of cool. You know, let's get to it. If it's going to happen, I'm tired of the waiting. And when it's all done, then we can go, you know, have a barbecue and go do some sailing. Okay, so to quickly recap and finish up, I've taken up over 40 minutes of your time. That's way too much for this crap. Bitcoin is good, peer-to-peer, goes around the Federal Reserve. Central banksters are the, in my opinion, they are the single largest point of control on the planet at the moment. Even the media would fall away if the central banks were done away with. And until central banks are done away with, we're slaves of the powers that be. We don't need them. We can do everything peer-to-peer. So, you know, do away with central banks, they're evil, and the world changes. And you can start doing it personally and do that into your life. And that's the only way it's going to occur, is at a personal level of consciousness. This will not be a mass action thing to get rid of them. It was mass action that brought us the damn Federal Reserve. True, it was a small amount of mass, but nonetheless. Okay, so bitcoins are good, peer-to-peer. We're going to get there anyway. The seizure of the assets are going to force lots of people into the black and gray market world just to survive. They're going there now. It's starting to get really robust. Such things as peer-to-peer currencies allow that robustness to spread beyond local environments. So if you know people that are into barter and trading, turn them into Bitcoin adherents and let them know that Bitcoins allow them to extend that barter in a safe fashion across their local boundaries, which is the big limitation of barter. It's awful hard to, you know, trade your mule for somebody else's goat when that goat is five states away and you never get to see it, that kind of thing. Anyway, also the Thrive movie and the Thrive whole movement and everything, my opinion, the guy's ignorant to the symbology and its impact on people in his own movie, or he's a lying bastard. Now on to the other here. The calorie economy is coming. We're in it now in the early stages. The early adopters are there. if you're going to make these decisions, well, it's not an if. Universe is going to force us to harmonize if we're not already attempting to do so. So just to get over the angst of it all, you may want to start harmonizing towards more of a calorie economy and understanding what that means. Calories in the form of energy, calories in the form of energy for yourself, as in food, and then calories in the form of largesse to the community as a whole that you may be able to provide because you were smart enough to get in on the curve ahead of things. And that'll be very, very important. Humans don't survive as individuals. We survive as communities and tribes. Meditation question. The truth attack thing apparently is going to keep continuing, so let's look for more of those. Apparently it's a wide meme, and it's going to continue to roll out. And then the deep woo subject. We may, in fact, be getting the early indications of some serious deep woo alien kind of stuff at the end of this year. All things considered, with the upheaval, the radiation, methane leaks, magnetosphere reversals, solar shifts from yellow to white, planetary bodies heating up throughout the entire solar system, the wacko powers that be guys, the shadow ops fellows, the perverted evil on this planet. Okay, we got a little room for some space aliens. We can fit them in right over there to the left. And as long as we're getting a heads up, now might be the time to get your 12 gauge. And I don't think what I call short rounds, individual small lumps of lead, I don't think that's going to be appropriate. In all of the data we've seen relative to the alien wars, there were, oddly enough, there were two items that showed up as weapon descriptors repeatedly across a number of years. One was shotguns, and the other was bows and arrows. So there you go, folks. If they land in Vietnam or the Philippines, they're toast. We don't have to worry about them there because of so many people having bows and arrows still. And if they land anywhere in Texas, that's it for them. So there we have it. That's the end of this one. Bitcoin's Uberalis. They're good for you, good for your health. Peer-to-peer is really good for you. We've got to get away from these bastards. I had no intention of doing these Wujos every 2 days. It's just worked out that way at this point. It may continue that way for a while. It's just an issue of the flow of the work and if I have time, and also what's popping up in terms of the linguistics as we get this system put back together, because we're now able to run some of the spiders and keep track of what's going on. And so if anything shows up, I'll take this format to let you know. And I guess that's it. And I can get some breakfast and go into boat work in spite of the weather. Also, watch out for the weather. It's going to get really interesting from this point on the rest of this month. Thank you much.